I can't. I think part of the reason why I'm being pushed towards Trump so strongly is that I find that the Democrats and the left just keep going straight to Hitler all of the time with everything. Like it, and if it's not the left pushing Hitler, it's the right pushing Stalin. So it's like we're fighting World War II every single day for every single election. So it's so exhausting. I think it just detracts from, it pushes me away from their position, and it's so hyperbolic that it makes it impossible to have good discussions, and I think it ruins the discourse.
Does
It's it
anybody think it's valuable or something you want to hear from the vice president? Anybody? Raise your hand if you think this is a something that's important for her to be talking about. Anybody?
No one raises their hand. That was tough. Well, maybe they should stop doing this stupid nonsense. I mean that, maybe they should knock this off. I mean, I cannot believe that we have more days of this. That's the ridiculous thing. Because this has been how many days of, I almost said Bush Hitler. It's not Bush Hitler. I'm so used to that. I'm so used to, well, and I had a family member tell me yesterday that, and I don't remember this because I was like wee little tiny, but that it was also Kane, Reagan Hitler too.
Oh, yeah, no,
I actually, well, again, I was like in kindergarten and I was young, so I don't remember all of that. I didn't read the news. I wasn't watching what they were saying about him. But it's the yeah, the whole everybody's Hitler, everything's Hitler, all of the Hitler stuff. And it's Reagan Hitler, it's Bush Hitler, it's all the Hitlers. Trump Hitler. It's what happens if there's like a real Hitler? If there's I mean, God forbid, but I'm just saying, what if there's like, an actual like, oh, here's an actual Hitler, and we gotta describe him somehow. What do we how we can't, because we've used it on the people who weren't Hitler. That's just what I, and this is backfiring with voters, because voters are, well, they're looking for relief, if I'm being honest. I mean, voters are trying to find a way out of this mess, and that's what they're looking for. And this rhetoric from Harris isn't cutting it. And they're desperate. And we're going to talk about some of that desperation. Kane wanted to come in. First off, welcome to the show. It's Friday. Happy Friday to you. Dana Loesch here with you at the top of this first hour. And we'll get you set up for the week. Is it 11 days now? I don't even know how many days it is. I'm trying to not to do the countdown because it's just, I'm trying not to do the countdown. But we're days out now from this election, and I'm going to be drinking a lot of Black Rifle coffee late. I'm just going to let you know. I was looking at a lot of the polling in that last night to get you prepared, so and get you caught up with everything today, so you can get a little bit of lay of the land as we go towards the last home stretch. So, welcome again, top of this first hour Friday. So I mean, I got a million things to hit, but Kane wanted to start. Was this a, where was this at? Jersey?
Was it Jersey? I thought it was in Georgia, but maybe.
Oh, no, you're right. I think it was Georgia. Yes, that's right. Because I was like, why do they have a Jersey guy in Georgia? Okay, yes. So Kamala Harris had Bruce Springsteen on her campaign rally yesterday. I don't know what this is. And also his lyrics are a little bit like, But it's Bruce Springsteen, and he, this is, I'm so sorry to do this to you guys in the first hour, but I have to, and sorry. Go ahead.
They'll be carving you up all right. Say you gotta stay hungry. Well, I'm just about starving tonight.
Oh my God.
I'm dying for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a love reaction. Come on now, baby, give me just one look. You can't start a fire sitting around crying over a broken heart. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Oh, it's bad.
Start a
Oh, it's bad.
fire.
This is what they got. Do you think the millennials in the auditorium cared, or arena or whatever they were at? Did they care about any? This doesn't work anymore. I mean, she was really trying. She's got Beyonce, who's supposed to be with her in Houston tonight. Maybe. That's what we were told at the DNC. So I guess she's really got to come out. Oh, get that off that thing. I guess she's really got to come out with it now. And Beyonce's really got to show up now. She can't get out of it now. Get the Bayhive out there. It is not looking good for her. Here's the insane part. Let me just break it down. All the prognostications leading up to this, nobody really knows until election night, right? We don't know until election night. However, it is looking very bad for her. She's lost all momentum. She's starting to crater. She's starting to tank. But it is still very close. It is incredibly close. And it is anyone's race still at this point. However, as I've been saying, however, it is still, Trump is still getting, he's still got a lot of momentum. He's building up on that momentum. He's building with men. He's building with young voters. So all of these things are good. Is it fast enough is my question. Is his ascension fast enough? Because remember, there's a lot of early voting that started, and he's really picked up in the last 2 weeks. Is that fast enough to put the distance between him and Harris as we are here on the home stretch? That's the million-dollar question. And I saw, where's this at? Oh, here it is. Ooh. Democrats fear they're blowing it. Axios. They're terrified. I'm looking at all kinds of stuff. There is a million things here to look at. The fear is palpable on their side. Axios, Politico had a piece on this yesterday. And we're going to get into some of the polling here coming up at the bottom of the hour. It's so bad. The Washington Post isn't endorsing a White House race. And it's the first time since, I think it was 1980. Was it 1980? I don't know. I was like a year old. I don't know. But was it 1980? King was like a baby. It was like 1980. So it was like the first time in years that so maybe since the 80s, first time in 36 years. So still, first time in 36 years that they're not endorsing someone. The editorial page is not making a presidential endorsement. That's significant. I am very cautious. And I do urge you to be also, because there are still a number of things that are sticking out to me right now. And some of those are some of the other smaller numbers. I'm pulling up some of my notes here, so bear with me. I have some smaller numbers for this. Like, there's this New York Times Siena poll that I'm going to break down here coming up. And while I think his momentum is good, the late breakers, if you believe in that phenomenon, they're trying to say that they're breaking her way. And it might be the shallow issues like abortion and things. And I do call it a shallow issue because it's all the narrative is based on a lie. She's trying to eat into his lead on the economy, which I don't think is necessarily happening. But in the New York Times Siena poll, there were 15% of voters that were not fully decided. Now, with the undecided, when they're trying to figure out who they're leaning, they're kind of left-leaning. And can I just be, am I not supposed to say that I think you're a moron if you're undecided at this point? Am I not supposed to say, I know politicians aren't supposed to say that and campaign surrogates aren't supposed to say that, but what the hell? How are you undecided? Are you just like not brave enough to actually commit to your choice? I don't understand this whole phenomenon of being undecided. You're a week and a half out. The economy is circling the crapper. There's international instability. We have a completely open southern border. We're headed towards like Haiti's chaos. How are you undecided? That's like trying to figure out if you're going to get off the Titanic. Well, I don't know. I mean, I may get off the ship. I may not. I just don't know. How do you not know? How are you undecided? Are you that uninvolved in the country in which that regulates how you live that you can't even participate? What's the matter with you? So that's we're gonna cover all of that stuff. But now, as far as it relates to the whole issue of Hitler, because you've got Biden speaking on it, you've got Harris speaking on it, the surrogates are speaking on it. And I don't think that that's, again, you heard that as we were opening up the show, that's not moving people. It's not moving people at all. And yeah, also having all the celebrities out, I don't think helps either. People are wanting to get away from that. They just want, give us something, some kind of concrete solution as to what a plan that we can follow to get out of this mess. Instead, you get audio sound by four, Bruce Springsteen talking about tyranny and Trump, because they both start with T, I guess. Great, you learned your alphabet.
Jeez. She's running to be the 47th president of the United States. Donald Trump is running to be an American tyrant. He does not understand this country, its history, or what it means to be deeply American.
What the hell does that even mean?
And that's why November 5th, I'm casting my vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
Good for you. You get an award. You get an award for making a decision. Good for you. Burp, burp. Yeah, white dudes for Harris. What is this? Well, he disagrees with me on stuff, so he doesn't understand what it means to be an American. I would say that that's you illustrating that point perfectly, sir. Yeah. I mean, I love that we've got a sentient piece of beef jerky up here on stage that can play guitar and sit here and lecture to everyone as to who is an American and who isn't according to their value system and beliefs. But, you know, the rest of us are kind of busy and we're trying to figure out how not to go broke because of your dumbass Richie Rich policies. All these, you know, I look at people like that. They can sit here and afford to pay carbon taxes and afford to do all this stuff because they're patrillionaires. Meanwhile, everybody else is left in the dust. There's no upward economic mobility. There's no room for that in a Harris-Walz environment. We got a lot more because we've got the word salad fight. Tim Walz. Let's see. What else do we got? Lee, I've got audio. We've got audio for days. Mel Gibson. I have a story about him. I met him. It was at an event. And there's only one picture that exists. And I didn't post it or anything. Because, you never know where people stand on stuff. And, I don't know. Anyway, I'll tell you the story. It's very funny. But we got a lot. We're going to roll towards the weekend. We're basically a week out from the election. And it's just going to be complete nonsense. And I'm going to try to, pepper it with some goofiness and absurdity. Because we don't want to drown. Our partners over at ReadyWise. It's more important now than ever to take charge of your own safety and well-being. I mean, you've seen some of the stuff that's been happening. Hurricane Helene, Hurricane Milton. You saw FEMA's response. Do you want to be left at the mercy of FEMA, or would you rather prepare in advance knowing that your family can be sustained and nourished even if things go sideways with the weather? This is where ReadyWise comes in. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of your entire purchase and take advantage of the free and fast shipping on most of their orders and their offer of a 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get one, $100 in value for $50. Two boxes with 12 pouches of premium survival food, entrees, breakfast, drinks, the whole nine yards. You get the best taste. You get premium survival food that uses U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant, so you know the chain of command for every bit of it, and you're supporting U.S. agriculture and U.S. jobs. And this is just perfect for emergencies, comfort in a crisis, and beyond. You don't have to sacrifice taste or quality for survival food, and that's what ReadyWise proves. 25-year shelf life as well. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was making the joke on break. I'm sitting here looking at news stuff. You know, we're all like dealing with the election and screaming and flailing. And Geddy Lee's going to release a 72 stories book about his baseball memorabilia collection. Yes, the Geddy Lee from Rush. It's coming out in May. I didn't even know this. It's a book about his baseball memorabilia auction. A collection of stories from some of the favorite items in my collection. He goes, maybe I'll release it on opening day next year. I don't know. He's just over here doing Geddy Lee stuff. Geddy Lee being Geddy Lee. This is crazy. A pregnant woman fell 17 stories in an apartment building, and her unborn baby survived. This was wild. This happened in England, and she succumbed to her injuries, but her baby was, delivered and okay, according to the BBC. She was in the Shakespeare Towers, not Fawlty Towers, 17-story building in West Yorkshire, and 17 feet, and the baby is going to be okay. That's just, it's wild. So thank heavens for that. Mount Everest gets a little taller every year because it's sitting up straight. I just wanted to let that sit there, see what you guys did. No, apparently that's an actual thing. They said that tiny changes in elevation add up over a millennia. And as a result, its highest peak gets a little bitty bit taller every single year, which I don't even know how all that works. But okay, sure. You know, that I'll take that. Yeah. This, Kane, you're going to like this headline because it's all about the bird flu stuff. Officials find no evidence that bird flu is spreading between people after a Missouri investigation. Health officials said yesterday that there's no evidence that bird flu is spreading between people after they were investigating infections in Missouri. The illness reported last month was different from the other 30 bird flu infections in people so far this year. They said there's no evidence for any kind of person-to-person transmission. The H5N1 has been spreading wildly, but it's not doing that, so stop it, knock it off. So they said. A turd-shaped monument honoring the January 6th mob was installed on the National Mall. It's a sarcastic statue. And apparently it features a bronze-shaped pile of feces resting atop a desk with Nancy Pelosi's name on the nameplate there. And they said that the memorial honors the brave men and women who broke into the building. It's like supposed to be like some sort of satirical thing. It's watched by a security guard. It's going to stay there for 7 days. Please tell me that no one actually crafted it out of bronze. Really? Stick with us. We got more in store. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
The supermarket doesn't lie. Latest reports show more people are changing where they're buying their groceries. Heading to box stores like Walmart goes to show that food and energy prices have yet to go down.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this first hour. You know it's crazy because it's crazy season. We're in we're approaching the home stretch of the election. And you know it's rough because you've got all I'm hearing is Hitler, Hitler, Hitler. They're like seagulls, but like bad ones that only say Hitler. You know, mine, Hitler. It's just all I hear. Audio soundbite 11. So Trump is having his rally in Madison Square Garden. And Hillary Clinton, who has been salty ever since the country rejected her in 2016. And I'll have you remember, the left said it was because of racism. That's why she lost. The old white woman lost because of racism in 2016. Sure. And she says that the rally that Trump is going to hold is, Hitler. Yeah, 11. Go ahead.
And, you know, one other thing that you'll see next week, Caitlin, is Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939. I write about this in my book. President Franklin Roosevelt was appalled that neo-Nazis, fascists in America were lining up to essentially pledge their support for the kind of government that they were seeing in Germany. So I don't think we can ignore it. Now,
wait a minute, I'm curious. So she's accusing him, he's having this thing next week. She's accusing him of reenacting it? I had to go back and, I mean, this was like back in the oldie times, the olden days when this happened. I had to go back and look and at like the photos from the period. And I mean, there was, it was the Bund organization that had a rally and it like went off the rails. And I mean, they actually had like Nazi imagery and signs and stuff like that. I mean, the photos that I'm seeing. Where does she get the idea that this is somehow a reenactment? Because it's people with whom she disagrees that are going to be in one place that back in checks notes, 1925, it was an indoor area, the in New York City, it was there, built in 1925, closing, MSG, the third. That, I'm just curious, the she thinks that, why is it a reenactment? Are they going to be doing like Nazi stuff? I mean, when you say something's a reenactment, I'm just assuming that that's what it'll be. But I, you know, that's not what actually is happening. She just, because people disagree with her, they're Hitler. And because they're getting in one, a bunch of people who disagree with her are going to be in one place specifically, then it's a Nazi rally. Is that, did I got that correct? So wait a minute. Is it, I know, just let me clarify. Is it because they're going to be at Madison Square Garden that makes it a Nazi rally? Or is it because there are people who disagree with her on things like healthcare and taxation and, you know, international relations and things of that nature, that those people that disagree with her on their issues are going to be at Madison Square Garden? And I ask that because, like, there's a lot of stuff at Madison Square Garden. Are all these people Hitler? Cindy Lauper's going to be there. Or she was, wait, she was there last night, right? Yeah. Cindy Lauper was there last night. Her farewell tour. Was that a Nazi event? I'm just curious. I mean, Duran Duran is going to be there on the 31st. For crying out loud. Is that, I'm curious. Is that a Hitler thing? Or is it just, this is so dumb. It's like, there's Hitler drink water. Do you drink water? Nazi. Hitler breathed air. Do you drink air? Nazi.
Did Hitler wear shoes?
Everyone who wears shoes is a Nazi.
Oh.
Yeah. This is just so dumb. Or is it, well, they disagree with me and they're Hitler. Well, what, and none of these reporters, and Caitlin Collins just sat there like a, you know, frog on a log, just go and just staring at the camera. At no point did she go, I'm sorry, Mrs. Clinton, but what exactly makes it a Nazi rally? She did not ask that at any point. That's the most obvious question to ask. But she didn't ask it. She just sat there. Miss Clinton, what in fact makes it a Nazi rally? I'm curious. Is it because they disagree? What about it? Are you saying that they hate Jewish people? Are they advocating for genocide? What makes it a Nazi rally? Specifically, can you articulate that? I think it's incredibly important in an era where the guy about whom you're speaking, there have been two attempts on his life. It'd be nice to maybe, he was literally shot in the head. So, I don't know. Maybe you could substantiate your Hitler claims. Please, ma'am. See, that's a reasonable request. And if she's not just, you know, a blowhard, then she'll be like, well, you know, when they're calling for genocide and talking about putting people on railroads, I mean, you know, that's exactly what, you know, she could have said anything. No one asks this. What do you mean you reenact something? What a does that even mean? Reenact how? What? They just say this stuff. Who out there believes this? If anybody out there believes this, they should not vote. I am so done with stupid people. People are dumb. I love what Tommy Lee Jones said in Men in Black. A person is smart. People are sheep. Oh my gosh. That's like scripture. It's so true. And what, wait, who is caught by this? And then, yeah, you have The View. They're still mad. The Washington Post is mad. By the way, my friend Stephen Miller, not that Miller with the campaign, but another person, had said, made this remark and was talking about this morning, that the media and everyone else, if they do think that Trump is Hitler, many of them are still not endorsing Kamala Harris over him. Just going to throw that out there. But it's not, you also have Mitch Landrieu, whose wife was the governor of Louisiana and was in charge when Hurricane Katrina came in, and there was just disastrous response. And do you remember everybody was working overtime to make sure that Mary Landrieu did not get the blame for failing to call in the National Guard and all that stuff? They were trying to blame W for it. I mean, there's a lot of things to get. If you're going to pick a bone with W, I mean, there's plenty of stuff, but that's not one of them. Audio Sunbite 14, listen.
Secondly, you've never had in the history of the country a president want to be like Adolf Hitler. I mean, that's just such an extraordinary statement that have come from now a number of people that it should cause everybody in America to stop and think about how devastatingly impossible that is to contemplate, have somebody like that sitting behind the Oval Office. The third part.
He wants to be like Hitler because he's not a Democrat.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because he disagrees with us on economic policy and taxation and government spending. And he disagrees with us on trade. And he disagrees with us on regulation for some things. And I mean, just like Hitler. I am just done. I'm done. We're going to have another week of this. Another week of Hitler, of Trump Hitler. Yeah, you never had the history of the country someone who wanted to be like Hitler. Do you guys want him to die? I feel like they want him to get shot again. Think about it. It goes back to that question, like, if there was a baby Hitler, would you kill him? Like, if you went back in time and saw a little baby Hitler in his crib, would you kill him? Right?
Democrats will
live through Planned Parenthood. Well, I mean, you talk and you demean someone like that. And you dehumanize them to the point where you can justify anything done against them, then it's not beyond the realm of extraordinary that someone would try to kill him. If they think, golly, this guy's as bad as Hitler, go back to when, what's his face, that lunchbox went and tried to shoot up a congressional ball field. And do you remember what they found in his vehicle when they secured the area? And they had evacuated law enforcement. The congressional members and law enforcement was there on site. And do you remember what they found in his vehicle? He had a manifesto of sorts, but he also had a kill list, and it was all Republican members. And he was livid about health care. And that was about the time that the left was promoting this idea that Republicans wanted to kill everyone's parents and they were going to kill you because they were going to take your health care away and leave you to die and bleed out in a ditch. I mean, that's, you know, pretty much what they were messaging. I don't believe that, you know, speech hurts. But I do believe that you have a responsibility, particularly if you are an elected official. I think you have a responsibility in that public sphere to be a little bit more cautious. I mean, we have people out there who are pretending that, you know, a man can be a woman, or that abortion doesn't involve murder, doesn't involve the ending of a life. So they can twist all kinds of definitions around and make it appear however they want. And so, of course, yes, this person is just like Hitler. So, of course, you can justify any atrocity committed against them. And that ultimately is what this is. I mean, I don't know how else to analyze it. I mean, that's, I don't know. And then you have this, Audio Sunbite 28. When they're not calling them Hitler, they're insulting the people that are giving the Trump-Vance ticket their momentum. Racism is alive and well. And here's an example of it. Audio Soundbite 28.
But the sharpest divide in our politics today is education. It's whether you have a college degree or not. That is the likeliest determinant of whether you're going to vote Republican or Democratic. And that's why we're seeing larger numbers, and I met some of them in Western Pennsylvania, of Latinos and Black voters who are moving toward Trump.
So white George Packer asserts that Black and Hispanic voters are shifting towards Trump because they're stupid. You heard him say it with his own mouth. He's the guy who writes at The Atlantic. And he's saying that they are dumb. They're uneducated, which is why they support Trump. Well, there's a great, there's an ad right there. Mm-hmm. What a great get out the vote effort to try to shame people when all else fails. Actually, they haven't even tried all else. They've just said bend the knee. They haven't even tried to make their case. They haven't tried to go out and court voters. They've tried to shame people and emotionally manipulate voters, but they haven't gone out to try to court them. And when people rebuff their initial advances, oh, it's because you are the problem. You are uneducated. That's racism. That guy's a racist. That's no joke, no cap. He's a racist. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour. Our partners over at Tax Network USA, hey, they want to help you with the government theft agency. I mean, the IRS. Yeah. Tax Network USA, they have been helping taxpayers save over $1 billion in tax debt. And they filed over 10,000 tax returns. They specialize in helping people like you reduce their tax burdens, and they can help. So the October 15th deadline is past now, several days. And if you owe back taxes or have unfiled returns, there's likely you're totally going to get intensified enforcement efforts from the IRS. It's totally going to happen. You could see wage garnishments, frozen bank accounts, property seizures if you've not done anything. Schedule today a complimentary consultation. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. And if you feel overwhelmed by the thought of filing your back taxes, this is where you can rely on the expert team at Tax Network USA. They have skilled professionals dedicated to getting you the best resolution for your issues. Doesn't matter if you have 10,000 or 10 million, if it's just you or if it's a business, they have the experience and tools to handle anything. And they can get you, you know, a tailored solution, whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income. They'll resolve your tax burdens effectively. Visit tnusa.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. Their experts will walk you through a few simple questions to see how much you can save. Act now before the IRS takes more aggressive steps. Take control today. TNUSA.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hi. Are you in line?
Yes.
Okay. I'm watching the technique here. Wow. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Here we go. Great. You all live in Philadelphia?
No, we're from Wisconsin.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
I'm canvassing right now for your husband and Harris with my union.
We have our vote.
Thank you. That's so great. Everybody, tell everybody you know the vote. Oh. This is mine. Thank you.
She stole that sandwich from the lady.
Do you want to swallow it?
It smells so good.
But does it smell as good as the burning buildings and livelihoods from the people that were rioting post-George Floyd, you know, when you left your windows open to smell all of the damage? She's like a walking horror show. She's like floored. Someone's making a sandwich. I've never seen anyone do that.
Burnt tires.
That's what's her face? Gwen Walls. She apparently, so the rumor is that she dropped out on the campaign trail for a few days. And the rumor is that Harris's people told her she was a weirdo and to stop freaking people out because she's, I'm not joking. I mean, maybe they didn't say it like that, but for real, the very loud and very numerous rumors are that there was a disagreement between the Harris camp and Gwen Walls about how creepy Gwen Walls should be when she's telling people to do things like turn the page and, discussing smelling things during riots. Yeah. And she got mad. Walls reportedly got mad and just stomped off. So that's...
Can we go back to the cheesesteak thing real quick?
Yeah.
So I've been to that place, Jim's, on South Street, 4th and South. And ironically enough, the funny thing you said about burnt, 2 years ago, that place burnt to the ground and they had to rebuild it.
From the riots?
No, just as a grease fire.
Oh, grease fire. Oh, well. Well, she would have liked that. I mean, she loves fire and destruction. I mean, that would have been one that was, yeah, she would have liked that. So, I don't know, just, it's just, I don't think that she's an effective surrogate because she tries too hard and it's just weird. And I don't know. The whole thing is just, this is, psychology students are living in like one of the best times ever right now because you're watching human psychology. You're watching people delude themselves. And I just don't know how, you know, people can make these, yeah, we're going to vote. We love higher taxes and yay, World War III. Woo. It's what we love. We love it. We have coming up this New York Times Siena poll. There's some good and bad about it, but we're also going to touch on the Gen Z voting bloc because now they're not all in with Harris. A lot of them, and I think the ones that were raised particularly by Gen X, not to, you know, toot our own horn, have, I think, been rebelling a little bit. Yeah. We're going to talk about that coming up. And also how the GOP should talk about abortion. We're going to get all of that and more. Stay with us next hour. Burn a gun. I've got a lot of friends that have gotten burn a guns, and they all live in areas like one of my friends, the first one to get it, was a friend of mine who lives in Washington, D.C. and works in the media. And it's, you know, it's a, nobody wants to be without protection or an ability to protect themselves in D.C. because, you know, hi, the crime. I'm sure you've seen it. And so with Byrna's SD, the Byrna SD, that's their most popular model. If you compare what this does, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from 50 feet away. When you compare it to like regular stun guns or, you know, they got like one or two shots, right? But with the Byrna SD, you have 5 rounds. Now they have different models and they have all kinds of different accessories and projectiles. But the thing is that the places where you can't carry, this is where Byrna comes in. If you don't want to be left as statistic because of a magical gun-free zone area or a gun-free zone sign. And this is legal in all 50 states. There's no waiting period. There's no background checks. It ships right to your porch. And you are not left defenseless. And that is the whole point, to diversify your toolkit. You can learn more about the Byrna gun by visiting Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. It's Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We are at the top of this second hour on the Friday. We're heading towards the election, the last week before the election, and it's Hitler season. If you're not listening, I'm sure obviously you're listening terrestrially, but we're on channel 347 DirecTV, Rumble, where, I don't know, sometimes there's a chat there, but Rumble's having a time. And then we're at X, and you can find us at Substack too, Chapter and Verse. While on break, I found like 4 new Hitler headlines. And we were talking about that last hour. And it's all based on this John Kelly thing that ran in the Atlantic. And they did this hit piece. And there's something else, though, that is an undercurrent to this story that's so much more than just them trying to smear by association through this just ridiculous accusation. There's something else that this accusation does. If you're saying that someone is like Hitler or likes Hitler and then you lose, what do Democrats usually do when they lose elections? They always think that it's been stolen from them. That's the thing with the left. They always think that when they are rejected, that it couldn't be because someone didn't want them. It had to be because that it was stolen. It was a stolen election. They've thought this every election where they lose. And so that goes into, they would probably think if they are going to experience a loss this time around, are they laying the foundation to justify violence in the wake of a loss? Well, of course the people are violent because that guy's Hitler. Right? Do you see how this works? It's like they're trying to justify it, give a reason, give justification in advance for a potential loss for violence. I mean, he's a fascist. He's a dictator. He's going to, quote, use his personal militia to carry out personal and political vendettas. He's unhinged. He's unstable. These are all her direct quotes. He wants unchecked power. And she didn't even, when she posted this 2 days ago, she didn't even cite the John Kelly thing. She just literally tweeted, quote, Donald Trump is out for unchecked power. He wants a military like Adolf Hitler had, who will be loyal to him, not our Constitution. He's unhinged, unstable. Given a second term, there will be no one to stop him from pursuing his worst impulses. That doesn't sound like your regular run-of-the-mill name-calling, does it? To me, it kind of sounds like, if you guys want to get violent if we lose, here's your excuse. That's what I'm hearing. Am I reading too much into this, Kane? Because that's what it sounds like to me. I'm just like, I feel like they're trying to set the stage to excuse any kind of violence because it's, he's Hitler. I mean, you know, and who wouldn't be violent if they thought, you know, Hitler stole an election?
That's been quite a tactic of theirs for quite a while, especially if they feel like it's close or they're losing.
Right. Yeah. So this is it's where we're at. This is how this is all. I'm just saying this is how it's all panning out. And I'm amazed. I mean, I'm looking at story after story. And none of this stuff would have passed the test, any kind of, you know, journalistic test. No one would have run this story. I mean, well, I don't think ever, unless it's like now. By the way, all of the people, there are so many people on record debunking all of that from John Kelly. So many people. Mike Pence's chief of staff. Mike Pence and Trump did not get along. Pence's staff did not like Trump. They didn't get along with Trump. Pence's staff didn't get along with Trump's staff. Trump's staff didn't like Pence. Trump's staff didn't like Pence's staff. There was no love lost there. And Pence's people are like, that's ridiculous. They're all saying that is so stupid, ridiculous. It's not true. This is the former VP, the VP's chief of staff, Nick Ayers. Listen to him on this.
Well, I know the president personally, Martha. He is my friend. I know his heart. And this unequivocally did not happen. Full stop. John Kelly was never too shy to, you know, to point out to senior staff when he differed with the president, often behind President Trump's back. So I can assure you, had those comments been made, the national media would have known, all of us would have known instantly. Moreover, he was, you know, rarely ever alone with the president. Usually Governor Sanders, now Governor Sanders, then White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, or the staff secretary or other national security officials, or myself, among many others, we were all together. So I'm saying with certainty, this did not happen. This is only being espoused because John Kelly's candidate is losing, and she's losing badly.
She is losing badly. They have nothing else to do except this. They have nowhere else to go but here. And I mean, it's just wild, wild. But that's the, I mean, this is, you knew this was going to be this crazy going into it. I wanted to talk about this New York Times Siena poll. This is one of the reasons why they're so desperate right now. It is, here's the good and the bad. Let me start with the bad first, actually. It's still a toss up. She's still within the margin of error. And while her lead is behind that of Clinton's and Biden's, respectively, in 2016 and 2020, she could still pull this out. She could still take Pennsylvania. She could still take Arizona. She could take one of these or two of these or three of these battleground states. They could not lose Michigan. One of the other things, I'm going to pull this up, that I was looking at with regards to this, some of the analysis on this. She is up with the voters who are not fully decided. I read in one survey she was up by 10. Trump, 2 weeks ago, Trump led them. She's 2 points up over margin of error with voters who are not fully decided. And they call those late breakers. So I'm giving you the bad news first. They have a ton of money and they have a ton of media buys. They have essentially, and this was, remember months ago, this is, it might be a lot of months ago for some of you, like 6 months ago, I was warning the RNC about ad buys, media buys, in a number of these markets, particularly the battleground states. Democrats have been raising money and have been squeezing the Republican Party out of purchasing ad time because they've been buying it all up. They bought it all up, and you buy it up quarterly. And that's one of the things they've squeezed them out in a number of different markets. And I've talked to people in different markets because we have affiliates across the country, and they were saying that's true. They were buying everything they possibly could. They were on a buying spree. So that means, especially as we go into this last week, I mean, it's just going to be papered. The airwaves in these battleground states are just going to be papered with more Democrat messages than Republican messages, because the DNC was ahead of the RNC on that. And that's a criticism I have. And that's something that I hope, victory or not, in any kind of postmortem, the RNC's got to rectify. And they have been doing a very good job still with early voting with Democrats in a couple of these different battleground states. So that's the bad. Here's the good. This New York Times Siena poll. In 2020, Biden was +8 at this time on average. He was +8. There were some polls that were saying otherwise, which was why I was telling people do not expect a red wave. I got a lot of hate for that, but I was not incorrect. And it actually was further measured in some of the state races with Senate and congressional races, where the closeness of those races mirrored the closeness at the top of the ticket. Additionally, in 2016, Hillary Clinton was +5, barely over margin of error. And remember, Trump piercing that blue wall and taking one of the battleground states put him over the top on that. Harris is tied. Compared to Biden, Harris, again, 8 points Biden, +5 Hillary. Harris is tied. Every average, every calculation. And it is possible, and some people have made this argument, the inclusion of Trump alters how people respond to these surveys. Yes, I agree with that to an extent. However, one of the things that the New York Times Siena poll has measured is that her enthusiasm, and this is reflective of other surveys that have been taken with similar breakouts, similar demos, similar, et cetera. She doesn't have any kind of enthusiasm. There is no trend for her. Her unfavorability is sky high. She has declined with likely voters. Just in the past month, she has declined with likely voters. And this, they surveyed, it was from September 29th to October 6th. They looked at about 3,500 voters. And she doesn't have a lead. It's evaporated. They're trying to say it's 49% to 46%, but when you remove the margin of error, or when you include the margin of error, they're tied. So she has decreased to now, she has dropped to tie him. He has increased to tie her. That's very telling. The other example of this is that they keep trying to say that she was running well with the youth vote, and that she was doing great with Gen Z. And Gen Z, I don't know, Gen X is such an equation that's not been studied politically. And I'm not saying that just, because I'm baby Gen X and I, want to toot our generation's horn, but there's something to that, because Gen X is a weird variable, and Kane, I think you would agree with that. It's not predictable like boomers. They're not super left. They're not super right either. They're kind of practical, right? And a lot of them have raised Gen Z. Some of the older Gen Z and millennials were raised by boomers, particularly some of the millennials. Some of the older millennials were boomer kids, and that's reflective in, I think, some of the political patterns. But a lot of Gen Z, particularly, you know, middle to younger end of it, they were raised by Gen X. And so they're different. And this is reflective in some of the surveys that was measured by the New York Times Siena poll. I mean, her campaign is kind of falling apart. And Kane noted something. I've been saying this. I don't know if they would say it. Practical is the new conservative. Because the left has gotten so crazy that it's impractical to be left anymore, which I think there's something true to that. But this poll is measuring that her enthusiasm is down in some of the most important polls that have historically indicated who is going to take the election in November. She is, by all of these same measures, behind the ball. She has to have a 2-3 lead with the national popular vote in order to pull it out of the Electoral College. And what the New York Times Siena poll is showing is that she does not. So if you add in all of the other candidates that are on the ticket, it doesn't really do a lot, but except it nudges Trump up by 0.8, by almost a full point. So that's also bad news for her. Very telling. That doesn't mean that you got to be apathetic, though. You need to get everybody out to vote. Like, today's our family vote day, by the way. It's our big time family vote day. Like, we have people coming in. Everybody's coming in to vote. It's a big thing. You need to go vote. Our friends over at Kel-Tec, the P15. If you haven't gotten a Kel-Tec, if you haven't gotten the P15, you really need to. It is the lightest, thinnest, literally the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. Nothing is lighter or thinner than this thing. And it is... like I said, double stack magazine. You don't lose the stopping power, and you don't lose any power at all. And it's super ultra concealable. It's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. And the versions, it comes in a metal version and a polymer version. The metal version has the walnut wood panels, and you have the gator grip texture on the polymer. Two magazines, standard 15 round, minimal pinky extension. The other's a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 for ultra concealability. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, striker fire, smooth trigger, lifetime warranty. Again, it is from the inventors of this category and quality made right here in the US of A. Innovation, performance, and Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC weapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
First off, I didn't know there was a walk-in industrial oven. I didn't know that. But there was a woman in a Walmart who died in one. She died in one. And it was in Canada. There was a Walmart in the Halifax location. And it happened on October 19th. This woman got trapped in the oven. And they don't believe it was foul play. What they believe is that she like had walked in there something and ended up getting like locked in essentially. And that's what had happened. I mean, that's absolutely horrible. So they've been investigating. The law enforcement has determined that there isn't any foul play. It's a horrific accident, but they're investigating to see, you know, any kind of liability to that end. But good heavens, just horrible. And by the way, the oven looks terrifying. Have you seen it? Did you see a picture of it?
Yeah.
It looks like very innocuous, right? That's what's so terrifying about it. It looks like you're going into like a safe or something like that. It's just kind of crazy. But they said that they were looking at the manufacturer of the oven and all this other stuff. But what a way to go. I mean, I can't think of anything more horrific. American views of China hit a record low, according to a new poll, as animosity grows. Of course, that's very interesting. And Tim Walz definitely wasn't in that. The views, of course, did anyone think that they would be high, particularly after Wu Flu? I don't think so. I think they were trying to blame the Trump administration, the article was, for the distrust. It almost seems like they were trying to make it a xenophobic thing. But hello, lockdown, pandemic came from one area. Why do you think people are still mad and they have every reason to be salty? Seriously. The construction began on the world's biggest building that can fit 20 Empire States in a brutal Saudi regime project. It is a huge square. The mega box is what it's called. It's a giant box. I mean, it looks kind of neat, but it's a giant box. None the same. They're doing some crazy stuff over there. And teens say to Hollywood, enough sex already. The younger generation, they're tired of it. All right, coming up, Gianna Jessen. This is how Republicans need to talk about abortion to swing voters the week before election. Stay tuned.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of the second hour this Friday, and you can listen coast to coast. And if you're not listening terrestrially, obviously you're watching the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV, also on X and Rumble and everywhere else. We've been covering, I think, every aspect of this election. We're getting ready to go into the super craziest home stretch of the silly season, I think, in recent memory. The last week, the final week before the election. And one of the things that we've discussed, and it keeps coming up, is the issue of women voters and what is driving this big issue with women voters. If you break it down and you're looking at like these undecideds and moderates and independents and maybe left-leaning in these swing states, it's abortion. The abortion issue. And it's an issue that I feel Republicans have gotten a little scared in discussing. And I also feel like Republicans have forgotten to tell those stories of hope in this whole issue. And that's having an impact on the campaign trail. And we're looking at, you know, survey after survey, like in North Carolina, when you look, you survey women, particularly women 54 and younger, that's the issue that's coming up to the top. I mean, I know it's wild, but that's the nature of the, that's where we're at right now. And I was thinking about this. I did a Fox hit earlier this week, and it struck me as I was listening to Laura Ingraham play her intro and give her opening remarks in the segment. And I thought, where are all of the women on the Trump Vance trail? I mean, I know they have women on the trail and they don't get credit for the women that they have. But my mind immediately went to several powerhouse women that I think would just absolutely shake the foundations of the way that some of these issues are spoken about, like Patty Morin and Alexis Nungaree with immigration and Gianna Jessen with abortion. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Gianna Jessen, I first became familiar with her probably about a decade ago. And I saw remarks that she was giving. It was on YouTube, and I think she was in Australia. And she was speaking because in the province of Victoria there, they were getting ready to like do something crazy with like up to the moment of birth, like abortion on demand. And she was giving very powerful remarks in a very kind way where the truth was not varnished at all, but she spoke in love and with such hopefulness. And I don't know how anyone could listen to her and then walk away with their hearts and minds not irrevocably changed. And I kind of kept up with like some of her remarks and things that she was doing over the years, and things got crazy and busy and kids and everything else. And I was thinking about, she popped into my head when I was on TV, and I'm like, why is she not on the campaign trail? Out of all of the people who could speak to this issue with such authority, why is Gianna Jessen? I texted Donald Trump Jr. I'm like, why is she not on the campaign trail with your father? Why is she not on the trail with you? And hopefully she will be, because I don't think any woman in any of these swing states could hear Gianna's story and not walk away with her heart and mind changed completely. You can find her online, GiannaJessen.com. She's also on X, and she joins us now via video. Gianna, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry about the super long intro, but it had to be done.
Oh, my gosh, it's you.
It's good to see you.
How are you?
I'm doing so well. How are you? I mean, you've been, I just wanted to thank you for your advocacy on behalf of life for all of these years. And you've, I think, changed a lot more people than you probably would ever know, you know, until, you know, the day after you're past the pearly gates and you're made aware of it. But you've done quite a lot. And I wanted to get your thoughts on the idea of messaging with hope on this issue, because I feel like the issue of life doesn't have to be a contentious issue. And you've done such a good job with that delivery. And for people who don't know, Gianna she was born during a saline abortion. I mean, that's literally, her abortionist had to sign her birth certificate. And so, I mean, you are literally like a manifestation of hope in a person. What do you think about this whole issue?
Well, I want to just say off the top that if anyone has had an abortion that's listening to this, I don't want you to hear me shaming you. I want you to hear the love of God for you, most of all, as you hear what's happened to me. Secondly, my adversaries love to say how irrelevant I am because this was done in 1977, to which I reply, which method of abortion of murder do you prefer? It is murder just the same. And so yes, I was being burned alive in my mother's womb. I didn't die because Jesus kept me alive. I have the gift of cerebral palsy, and I don't die easy.
You're a
and
fighter.
I don't quit fighting. And I just want to say that for the evangelical voters that are really not up for voting, not into voting, I want to say this to you. I know there are disagreements about the what has happened since the overturning of Roe versus Wade and how we should approach the preservation of life in the womb. But I will say, in my lifetime, Donald Trump, more than any other president, as someone who was born alive in an abortion clinic, that man has done more for protecting the life of the unborn than any president I have ever seen. All the rest have given lip service, and he has done something. You are hearing this from a person who should be blind, who should be burned, who has cerebral palsy, who's had to learn how to walk twice and freaking never give up. I've run marathons on my toes. I have just refused relentlessly over and over and over. I will not give up. And I would like to say, if I may, Dana, I would like to say another thing on this point. I don't mean to not let you speak.
No, I want to hear from you.
There's something that I am troubled about that is not being addressed. And that is that basically girls can now go online and order abortion pills online as easy as getting them like this. And they are just taking them in their houses, and their houses are becoming tombs. Mm. And sometimes they're hemorrhaging. And this is also opening the door for incest and all of these things. So I think that side of the abortion issue needs to be addressed as well. I also want to say pregnancy resource centers are awesome. If you are pregnant and flipping out, we are here. They are here. Look it up on your phone. All services are free and confidential. I work with them all the time. Want to say that. But I believe I have something to say to President Trump. President Trump, I have something to say to the nation. I have something to say to the nation. And I just pray for the chance to speak with you and to speak to the nation about never giving up. I mean, I was never supposed to hold up my head. I was never supposed to get up out of a bed. I have been fought even to the present moment. And on so many different sides. And here's the thing. I don't have, people that barge down and open doors for me on purpose. You know why? Because if I'm going to meet President Trump, it's going to happen because Jesus made it happen and I didn't have to manipulate it. And he can open a door, and he's greater than any manager. And they're usually controllers anyway. And I hate being controlled. I love liberty. And you, Miss Dana, were an open door that God gave me today. You are being used to help me when others are ignoring me. And yeah. You chose to give me a voice because, Dana, my life is more than abortion. Yeah. It is so much more. It is passion. And also, one other thing, Mr. President, I would ask you if I could stand beside you and speak to the nation, sir. This is kind of old school and politically incorrect, which I think you will totally love. But I would ask for your arm to help steady me, to help steady my balance, so I might say what I must to the nation if you'd give me the chance. If you want help with evangelical voters, I'm your girl. Yep. Next thing is, I have a great idea for entrepreneurs. I have a gorgeous
full of ideas.
Brain.
I love it. We're talking with Gianna Jessen. If you're just tuning in, Gianna Jessen is, I mean, she's an amazing advocate for life and for liberty. And we were telling her story, and you can read about her story too at GiannaJessen.com. Because that's been, and you touched on something really key, Gianna. This, I don't want to say a disagreement with evangelicals, but I think that there's a difference in approach. Some want an all or where it comes to preserving life. And I understand both of them. They want one side wants an all or nothing approach. One side thinks that we got to do it incrementally so we don't lose any ground. Yes. I mean, they're both on the same page. There shouldn't be division there.
Yes. The thing is, we're both fighting for the same thing, but so much more life will be lost if Kamala Harris is in the president. I mean, we're heading for communism, and we're heading for so much. This is an urgent hour. It is not the time to be to be sitting at home and not voting. I mean, because it's just too dangerous of a time.
It is. I wanted to ask you too. There's an amendment in Florida, Amendment 4, where, and you were talking about younger girls too, particularly, and I know your mother in your own biography, you said was, you know, a teenage mother. And, you know,
17.
Yes, 17 years old. In Florida, they want to remove, with this proposal to the Constitution, the parental consent. So where it's just notification, maybe even after the fact. Parental consent, you touched on something. I mean, if there is a young woman who's brought into a clinic, I mean, how do we know that it wasn't an illegality or the product of, you know, rape or where? I mean, the parents are the protectors, and their rights to protect their children should be protected.
These people are evil. What is wrong with these people? And here, Christians, you go to church every Sunday, you live your cushy little life, and you talk a good game, but you got to get out there and actually have some real courage. Maybe you lose a friend because you support Donald Trump. How many men have you seen take a bullet and keep going? How many people of real courage do you see? And of all things, as Christians, we are overcomers. And we are to be in the public square. And we are to be lifting up his name unashamedly and standing firm and having an influence in society rather than becoming like the society. We change the culture. We are not changed by the culture. So don't give me this. I'm standing with Jesus and so I'm staying home. No, if you sit home, you will be held accountable for your apathy in the face of communism, abortion on demand, all the way. I mean, infanticide, abortion. Yes, there are abortion survivors. Yes. And I am not the only one. And you know, what's interesting to me, Dana, is the godless, it never occurs to them that God can do anything because they're godless. Mm. But he can do the impossible, which he has done in my life. He makes the lame to walk. So let me just say, these punks who want to take away parental rights, parents, you keep standing. Christians, stop living in your cushy little life and take a risk. And men, listen up. I love you. Be masculine. We don't need pansies. We need men. We need Mel Gibson and Braveheart. Give me Mel Gibson and Braveheart over Tim Walls any day of the freaking week. People want to have the babies of women want to have the babies of a Braveheart, not the Tim Walls.
Oh,
moron.
Oh my goodness. That's the sound.
It is so ridiculous.
Gianna Jessen, we'd love to have you back. And I'm hoping to see you on the campaign trail. We'll see what happens because I don't think anybody was a stronger voice on this than you. God bless you, my friend. It is so good to see you. Thank you so much.
You too.
God bless.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, this one I got to add in here. This is, I don't think I have this one on. A Coconut Creek man confronts his son with a machete. And guess what for the reason? Guess the reason. I mean, I think I'd be as sad if somebody forgot my birthday, but I wouldn't threaten them with a machete. That's what this man did, though. That's why he was arrested. Coconut Creek man, Florida man, charged with assault with a deadly weapon. He threatened his son with a machete for getting to wish him happy birthday. He forgot. It was on October 19th that the Coconut Creek Police Department responded to a domestic disturbance with a deadly weapon call. According to the records, a family matter escalated into a confrontation. Laron Witters, 56, and his son became he became irate after his son did not wish him a happy birthday. The victim told officers that the disagreement started in the living room. It got worse when Witters demanded that he leave the house, and he refused. So he began packing up his son's belongings. And while doing so, he retrieved a machete and confronted his son. The son was upset. And he came towards his son with the machete and placed it down and finally kept moving his belongings. But, of course, he had pushed his son in the chest and apparently, I guess, threatened to chop him. I don't know. And that's when they so they arrested him. They said they recovered the machete. The victim was uninjured. He said he didn't wish to pursue charges. That's all sad, though. That whole story is sad, isn't it? Aww. This, a man driving a Florida man stole a truck, led troopers on pursuit, and then tried to hop into a drainage canal in Naples. You know what's in drainage canals? It rhymes with gator.
Gator?
Yeah. Dana, that's not how rhymes work. That's the point. 36-year-old David Alfonso, he was driving a stolen Ford F-250. And he was being pursued by police. He took it out of Collier County. And troopers tried to pull him over. He kept driving at a high rate of speed. Then he stopped the vehicle, fled on foot, and tried to hide in a drainage canal. He was arrested on a bunch of different charges because you can't get away. That's not going to work for you. It's not going to work for you. Not going to happen. A handcuffed inmate escaped custody at a Florida hospital. And of all the cars to flee in, he left in a Maserati. Theodric Collins, 36, was apprehended at Port Miami on October 19th. He had several warrants. He had earlier complained of chest pain, was transported to the emergency room. Then he was medically cleared. He managed to escape the officer and jumped into a waiting silver Maserati, according to Miami-Dade. It had Bama plates. And apparently he's still on the run. The dude is on the run. The plates are GBT862. Silver. I don't think they're going to ditch that Maserati, do you? Yeah, Bolo, silver Maserati with Bama plates. The dude was arrested in Mississippi for shoplifting, fleeing police, theft, reckless driving, numerous high-speed chases before. So that's, there you go. We have more on the way. Third hour up next. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour on Friday. It's the think about this. This is the second to last Friday before the election. It's crazy. Find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse, all kinds of good stuff up there, YouTube, Facebook, the discussions at Rumble, where you can also, obviously catch the live stream of the program, too. What I just want to give you a snapshot as to what is in store in, like, a Harry Walz presidency. This is Audio Soundbite 26. It's the prime minister, newish prime minister of the UK. He's talking about raising taxes on people in the UK. And I want you to listen to how he describes what he thinks is a working person and who isn't a working person. Listen.
Okay, so for someone who works but gets their income from assets as well, such as shares of property, are they a working person?
Well, they wouldn't come within my definition.
So
but
their taxes could go
up. Yeah, I mean, you can probably give me any number of examples. And don't know, you're tagging a second question to the first, which is you're asking me for a definition of who's a working person, and then you're making assumptions about what the tax might be in relation to.
But we're running out of time, but I could go through
fuel. You could.
You're a working person, and you might put fuel
duty. You could go through that exercise. Or you could, ensure that people hear from me who I have in my mind's eye. People watching this will know whether they're in that group or not. Those people who work hard, are anxious about whether they can make ends meet, and know that should something happen to them and their family, they can't.
So he thinks like landlords are not working people. Yes, he thinks that if you're landlords, you're not a working person. He thinks that if you get income from shares, that you're not a working person, that you don't count as a working person. So he started to get a crazy amount of pushback from this, particularly from many in the UK. Landlords were slamming him. They said he was insulting, that he was out of touch today. Because see what they're doing, he's part of the Labour Party, and the Labour Party are Marxists. They are. They are absolute tool bags in UK. And he was saying that he's trying to, he was trying to push raising taxes. And the reason I bring this up is because this is the snapshot of what the future will look like under Harris Walz. So he's getting pushback because the people who are going to be targeted with the biggest tax hikes in the UK in the next 3 decades are going to be like those, like landlords and things like that. He had said that they, a working person is someone who goes out and earns their living and is paid in a monthly check. That's what he said a working person is. Like he, you know, someone said, I'm a landlord. I spent all day replumbing an apartment. Does it count as working? You know, that wouldn't, I guess that wouldn't count, you know. I mean, this is just, they're looking at they're targeting their budget. They're trying to figure out their budget because they love government spending, just like here in the United States. And so this is what they've been fighting over. And I mean, it is a war on success. It's a war on achievement. And that is what the Harris Walz, that's one of the concrete things you can count on in the Harris Walz economy. Instead of waiting for them to tell you what their plans are, they've told you. They're going to tax you so that they can pay off their voting block and constantly keep the money flowing with free education, taxpayer-funded abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. That's not, I'm not, by the way, I'm not exaggerating that. That's literally what it is. If I was wrong, people would be fact-checking it all day long. If that claim was wrong, people would be fact-checking the claim all day long. That's an accurate representation of not only what was in the Senate bill that was co-sponsored by every single Democrat just 2 years ago, but it's also part of the Democrat. I mean, you look nationwide, that's what they're moving to. They've drummed any pro-lifers out of the Democrat Party. And so this is a war on upward economic mobility. And this is what Harris Walz share. It is a war on upward economic mobility. Now, why is that? You've heard Walz talk about, he's like so mad, he cannot stand that idea of upward economic mobility in people like J.D. Vance. That's why he's made so many comments about Vance and slammed him over this stuff. They have problems. Audio soundbite 5. Here he is saying that you got to vote for Kamala Harris just because she's a woman. Listen.
Let me just for a minute talk to all the men that are here, and I'm glad that you're here on this. Look, Kamala doesn't talk about it, but it is damn past time we just quit talking about the cracks in the glass ceiling and tear the damn thing down and have Madam President tear it down.
That doesn't appeal to me, that argument. I'm not going to vote for someone just because our genitalia matches. That's so stupid. That's not how you sit here. That's not how you try to persuade someone to vote for your platform. Furthermore, the idea that, well, it's about time. There's cracks in the glass. There isn't a glass ceiling. I'm so tired of these old tropes. It's so boring. My gosh, they've been saying this stuff since like grandmother's days. Quit. Try something new for once. Anything new. But I will say this. Do you think, for all of the discussion that the left has had about Trump going after and jailing opponents, which he's not going to do that because he didn't put Hillary Clinton in jail. He always said that he was going to jail Hillary Clinton and he didn't. So their argument is dumb. But what about the left? Think of it for a moment. Do you think the left, if they won the White House, play a nightmare game with me. Say they win the White House and the House. I said just a nightmare game. That's all. It's not happening yet. Kane's over there hanging onto the table, about ready to fall into the floor, call for life alert or something. No, but just think, if they did, do you think that they would go after all of, I think they would. I think they'd go after people like Elon Musk. I think they'd try to like Kim.com him or something. I really do. And I believe that because they've been targeting him already, case in point. They've gone after him for a million things. They told him he had to stop giving away the $1 million to get people to sign the petition in swing states. If he was a Democrat, they wouldn't even cared. They told him he couldn't do that because you're running afoul of election law. And they immediately went after him. They've been going after him for a number of other things, too, that have no bearing in any kind of anything. They've been trying to figure out how they can launch a criminal investigation into him. They've got all these he's in a battle with the federal government now over tons of different regulation, like Neuralink, SpaceX, X, Tesla. I mean, they're all kinds of regulatory battles. Every agency they can fight, they can use to fight him, they're doing it. The New York Times released a diagram that showed all of the regulatory battles and lawfare against him. His companies, he's been targeted with 20 separate investigations. 20 separate investigations. They got Department of Transportation, Justice Department, the Labor Department, the Department of Equal Opportunity, Securities and Exchange that have been investigating Tesla. SpaceX, they have Department of Transportation, they have the Justice Department, they have the Labor Department, they have the Interior Department, and they have the EPA and the Federal Communications Commission targeting SpaceX. By the way, everything I learned about the EPA, I learned from Ghostbusters. Neuralink has been targeted by the Department of Transportation and Agriculture. X has been targeted by Securities and Exchange and the Federal Trade Commission. So there are a number of investigations against him. All of these regulatory battles, I mean, they have already been trying to kneecap him. Already. So is it beyond the realm of possibility that under a Harris Walz investigation, they would target him? I mean, it's rhetorical. I realize this. I'm, you know, being entirely rhetorical because I totally believe they would. I mean, think about it like this. This is the left. You remember the McDonald's that Trump went to? They have to have police protection now. The McDonald's at the Pennsylvania where Trump was literally has to have police protection now. I'm not making this up. Feasterville, is that how you say that, Steve? Feasterville, Pennsylvania. Apparently not everyone is loving it. They had to have three police officers at the Bucks County franchise because they have to keep out, they're keeping an eye out for their employees. People said unruly guests were trying to cause disturbances this week. They were upset, I guess, over the fact that Trump was there. And so they've been like trying to give people problems. They literally have been targeting the McDonald's. Speaking of McDonald's, audio soundbite 8, Obama talked about that. I mean, really? You guys keep making it a focal point of the campaign and we're going to keep staying there. Listen.
And the good news is that Kamala Harris is ready for the job.
Is he there? Is she? Typo that stays.
This is a leader who has spent her life fighting on behalf of people mm-hmm. who need a voice, mm-hmm. who need a champion. Kamala wasn't born into privilege. She was raised in a middle-class family. She worked at McDonald's when she was in college to pay her expenses. She didn't pretend to work at McDonald's when it was closed.
She was born to parents that worked at Ivy League universities that both had their PhDs that made fat salaries. She went to a very expensive private primary school, and she lived in a very tony neighborhood in Berkeley. Super rich neighborhood in Berkeley. That girl ain't middle class. Stop it. She doesn't even know what middle class is. Middle class was what I aspired to be when I was a kid because we were broke.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So you gotta do karaoke on the Doot Doots on that song by Duran Duran. Welcome back to the program. Let's see. This USPS mailbox fire in Phoenix damaged some ballots. Oh. The guy committed arson, but they said his actions weren't related to the election. Huh. Did they? It's a USPS mailbox. It was set on fire, damaging several ballots and other pieces of mail. Local law enforcement arrested a 35-year-old man in connection. His name is Dieter Klofkorn. I'm not even making that up. That's his name. You got to say it like that, too. Dieter Klofkorn. He admitted to committing the arson, but said it was not related to the election campaign. That was what police said at a news conference. They said whatever Dieter Klofkorn's desire was, They did not get that far into it, said Officer Rob Scherer. There you go. They didn't really get that far into it. The motive, like, who sets a mailbox on fire? I'm just going to randomly burn a mailbox. No motive at all. So I don't know. They said that I don't know if the guy's a Democrat or not. I would like to know. I think that, you know, you should know into that. I mean, if you have to sit here and make it public whether or not somebody is a permit holder for a firearm when they commit a no-no, then, you know, I feel like party affiliation, maybe. A swarm of UFOs was spotted near an Indian Air Force base where a 20-mile-long mothership was detected. What? Oh, yeah, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Kokomo in Indiana. 13 miles south of the Grissom Joint Air Reserve Base, they saw hovering flickering lights vanished into thin air. Someone said, I think it's UFOs. I don't feel comfortable going to sleep tonight. Hurry up and go to sleep because that's when the aliens show up. At least some cookies and milk. Wait, that's Santa. I'm so confused. This election's got me upside down. So they said that they shared all these videos of them. And then someone said there was like a huge mothership that was up there a couple of weeks ago that they detected. I'm just saying. I really, you know, that would be just like, that's the October surprise. What if the aliens came down and were like, ah, 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 this is the October surprise. That would be way better than any of the stuff that we've seen so far. And a man un-Americanly used an American flag to strangle a woman during a dispute. It's definitely not how that is supposed to be used. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being voted on in days. What's your thoughts?
Oh, man, that's a big question.
What's wrong?
I don't think it's going to surprise anyone who I vote for.
Well, so, I mean, I'm going to guess.
Can we go in?
Yeah. I'm gonna guess
Trump.
Is that a bad guess?
I think it's a pretty good guess.
Well, what do you think the world will be like in a second term with President Trump's second term?
I know what it'll be like if we let her in.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And that ain't good.
Yeah.
Well, miserable track record. Appalling track record. No policies to speak of.
Yeah. And the border, right?
And she's got the IQ of a fence post.
Gosh. How are you going to be doing fence posts like that?
Right.
Come on. So mean. Yeah, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour. So I have a story to tell. I met Mel Gibson actually in Dallas. It was an event. It was a fundraising event for, it was like a veteran event. And he was there with Jim Caviezel, and Jim Caviezel was making remarks, and I think Mel was traveling with him, and he sat at our he was sitting at our table. It was crazy. The whole thing was crazy. And, you know, I'm sitting down there, Mel Gibson sitting across from me. It's just wild. And, you know, I didn't want to go up to him. I had a friend surreptitiously snap a picture, but I didn't want to take a picture with him because I thought, oh, that'll be so, you know, he gets us all the time and it's probably so annoying and he just wants to sit there and eat his rubber chicken. You know, I mean, just let the man eat his rubber chicken. Come on. But I did go up and I introduced myself to him. It was, when I get awkward, it's in the most awkward of ways, right? It's just like, it's something special. So I went up to him and I introduced myself and I said, Mr. Gibson, you know, my name is Dana Lash. I really enjoy your work. And he goes, I know who you are. And I did not know what to say to that, except I just looked at him like for a beat and just like blinked. And I go, no, you don't. And he goes, yes, I do. And I go, I don't think so. And he goes, are you seriously going to argue with me about whether or not I know? And I go, no, I'm sorry. I just didn't know what to do. I was like, what? No, you don't. It was so awkward. So no, I just get real weird. I'm like, I just, no, you don't. Like, you know, you're busy like making movies about, you know, Jesus and you know, the Mayan apocalypse and all this. Like, what are you doing? So, but he was super nice. And it was just a funny moment, but he was very kind. But yeah, that was very interesting. I don't doubt that. I mean, he's not really, doesn't seem like he's a Harris fan. Just saying. I don't think anybody really is, except for maybe some of the low T fellers out there. It's not white guys for Harris. It's low T fillers for Harris is who it is. Low T fillers for Harris. Are you a low T filler? Like that one dude who was like sitting in the truck like he was a model. Oh, yeah. Sitting in the truck with his hands on his waist. And he was looking like this. Like he was like voguing for the camera. I like women. It's like, sure you do, slick. Okay there. Go ahead. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so that's I'll never get over that guy. That's like his legacy now. That dude and sitting in that truck. Just I cannot get over it. Oh my gosh. I'd be so embarrassed if I was that dude. All right, a couple other we got some other stuff. All right, so because there's a lot of stuff we haven't touched on yet. I wanted to get, can we play this audio soundbite, by the way, of this is Jerry Worski, who is 94 years old, and he was 9 and living in Poland when the Nazis invaded. And he gave an interview with the New York Post, and he was very upset with the rhetoric coming from the Democrat nominee. Listen to this. This is pretty compelling.
I'm 94 years old and survivor of Auschwitz and the Death Marches. Adolf Hitler invaded Poland when I was 9 years old. He murdered my parents and most of our family. I know more about Hitler than Kamala will ever know in 1,000 lifetimes. For her to accuse President Trump of being like Hitler is the worst thing I've ever heard in my 75 years living in the United States. I know President Trump, and he would never say this, and Kamala Harris knows it, this. She owes my parents and everybody else who was murdered by Hitler an apology for repeating this lie.
Why should the Jewish people support President Trump?
Because he's a mensch. I believe that President Trump is definitely going to be good for Israel. Because in everything that he's done up to now was in favor. He never double-crossed anyone.
I just, knowing that you have Holocaust survivors out there and you use that rhetoric, I mean, that's pretty stunning, right? I just, it's just really just disturbing, and it's not working. RCP average, polling just made a big move in the national vote. And I was telling you about Clinton and Biden, respectively, and Harris at this particular time. Trump, for a while, there Kamala Harris had a 0.2 lead in the national polling. Well, now Trump is almost up 1.5. And this is significant because now he is getting to the level in some of these surveys, state by state, with the national vote as well, that Biden had against him in 2020, and that he had against, and that Trump himself had against Hillary in 2016. So there's two different measures that, two different instances that show his spread, his advantage against Harris. I mean, you've got two elections where he had such an advantage, and the advantage put that person for Biden Trump. It was Biden. For Trump Clinton, it was Trump. And now he's pulling again. He's pulling up over Harris in this. That's pretty significant. It's just like these little things that we got to pay attention to, right? Because there's all this other stuff where they get into that. You're Gen Z. Who do you like? Like, what do you think about abortion? It's these little bitty things that. These little nuances in the polling that are giving the most insight. They're serving insight. No cap. So the, you know, getting into the Hispanic numbers, he's also up 3. For people who didn't vote in 2020, he's actually +3 with him. That's interesting. I don't think that there's any like Republicans for Harris thing. I don't think so. I don't know. But I can't see that. Like the Haley people, I can't see like Haley voters, like, you know, anti-Trump Haley voter. I can't see that with us. I don't know. I don't see any of that coming to fruition. I think if she keeps doing media appearances, they got this in the bag. I don't know who is running her campaign, but I feel like they might be a Republican plant. I would be in her ear going, don't pick Josh Shapiro. Pick Tim Walz. Yeah, pick him. Send Gwen out there on the campaign trail. All the stuff they're doing is stuff I would have told her to do. Legit. I would have told her to do all of this stuff. Neiman Marcus has changed the name of its Christmas book gift catalog to holiday book. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I agree with the headline that Daily Mail has that Neiman Marcus bans the word, but they did just change the name of their gift catalog. They said they've talked about their Christmas book before. The Christmas book at Neiman's is what you look at when you like to pretend that you're a billionaire, because some of the stuff in there is insane. I'm going to look because they didn't ban it, but they did change it. They removed Christmas and they made it a holiday. Now, I don't know what to make of this. I mean, I don't think it's because they hate Jesus. Maybe they feel like they've got to be, I don't know, more. Do you honestly think that Jewish people are going to be like, oh, I can't buy from that catalog. It says Christmas book. Do you honestly think that? I don't understand why. I also feel like does it matter? Because everybody's too broke. Everybody is too broke to even care about what kind of gift book it is, right? You think people care? They can't. I can't afford anything in here. Did you see some of the stuff in here? Usually it'll be like, here's a $500 like frother or something stupid, right? Here's a $50,000 refrigerator that'll sing a song to you every morning and tweet. I don't, it's like goofy stuff like that in there. And I got this headline for Kane. What? Specifically. What? Kane, dost thou like oat milk?
Oat milk? No.
Do you think oat milk is good or bad?
I would say you can do without it.
There's this meme where God is, or it's Jesus, and Jesus is asking one of the angels, what are they doing down there? And the angel goes, oh, they're getting milk from nuts. And he's like, but I gave them all these animals. And he's like, yeah, they don't like any of that milk.
God's like, what?
He's going,
what are you doing?
Here's the headline. Oat milk linked to another cancer-causing chemical as people flock back to dairy.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Oak Milks, say that fast, the health halo, whoever wrote this, I hate you, is rapidly disappearing. They said that there are emulsifiers in plant-based milks. That's not milk. It's cloudy water with research links to cancer. And the WHO, if take it or leave it, they say it's carcinogenic. And a lot of it's chemical stuff that they spray on it, like weed killer, glyphosate and that.
Glyphosate.
Whatever. There's no such thing as almond milk or oat milk. Nope. Or any plant-based milk. It's cloudy water. You're getting cloudy water. Yep. Dirty, cloudy water. It's like when a man pretends he's a woman and wants to secrete milk. That's not what that is. Okay? Same thing. That's what you're getting. You're getting nature's pus. That's what this is. Die already. Yeah. You know what? I'm driving it home. Oat milk is of the devil.
Can we not?
Devil. God. I get really excited about dairy items. I don't know why, but they're like, it's bad. Like, it's not milk. Just be like, I don't want dairy. And if you don't want dairy because it's a health issue for you, nobody cares. You don't have to. Why is it that people who get, they're like, I'm not getting dairy in my coffee. I don't get these people. I don't get it.
The majority of dairy now, if you look in the ingredients, you look at like if you like half and half or heavy cream or whatever, you like to add that to your coffee. Polysorbate 80 is a big part of that for the majority of the brands that are out there for sale, especially the ones that are a little cheaper. And it's not good for you. So you may want to consider whole milk. You may want to consider something that hasn't been fully pasteurized. You want to make sure that your body's getting the right bacteria.
Or you just get a cow and go out to the field and lay under there of a morning. I'm just saying.
Probably not the best. That last take, part of the idea.
Take your coffee cup. Go out there and get a...
See? I would be for that. I'd be...
Right? Fresh from the teat, man.
Right.
I mean, it's nature's milk. Actually, it literally is. Just saying.
It is nature's milk.
It's not dirty white water. That's all that is. People know that, right? It's just dirty nut water. It's gross. Okay, time to break. It's Friday. Indulge me.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. We are, my whole family is voting early, for early voting. So today's a big voting day for our fam. Four votes that are going to cancel out any Marxists. It'd be. Have you early voted yet, Kane?
Not yet.
Early vote. I love, you know, I was telling my kids, I'm like, you can't wear political stuff and you can't, you know, can't carry, you can't bring your any political messages, any political hats or anything like that. And, you know, don't try. There's like been long lines.
Can I wear my I'm anti-stupid shirt?
I don't know.
That's not really campaigning, is it?
You can't, I know that people, what was it in 2020, the Let's Go Buy or Let's Go Brandon stuff they were giving people problems for? Or FJB. I'm just saying. So our whole fam is going to be early voting. So it'll be, I'm looking forward to it. We got a headline for, Steve does not like this guy's name. No. He's the guy who is running against Josh Hawley in Missouri, who shot a reporter at their range day. The reporter lived because they were shooting, you know, 223 and, you know, bolt action and who knows what else. 308, who knows what they're at, like steel targets 7 feet away, 7 yards away. And one of them got injured. One of the reporters got hit. And so they put a tourniquet right on the wound. And then Adam Kinzinger was there and his eye pro was on his head protecting his hair. Anyway, they're investigating that. They had to, because you have to, if somebody gets injured in like a situation like that, it has to be reported. So apparently they are actually, law enforcement is checking into it. Interesting. All right. Today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. This is just an example of the media's effort to prop up the failing Kamala campaign. Listen to what MSNBC's Nicole Wallace says here. Oh, sorry, this is 22-1. Sorry, 22.
I think what is so amazing about what April just sort of brought us through is amazing. That at the end of the shaking democracy is hope and change. And what? We can do
hope
it, right? This hasn't happened yet. I mean, Election Day is almost 2 weeks away.
I
worked on campaigns, so I can sort of analyze a campaign, and it's been perfect. It's
her
been flawless. The ads are quick. The response
flawless?
Is rapid.
Really?
I don't think that's what those words mean. Folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to be back. I'm traveling Monday for work, but I'm going to be back behind the mic with you on Tuesday. God bless. We'll talk then.